In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. Al Messiah Manna. Oh, I heard another, the easier one is also you say Manna back. That's I heard that from an Orthodox bishop. So, okay, so you can do the other one, but Deacon might teach everybody pretty soon. A welcome to all of our, and I see a number of new faces today. A welcome to the Melkite liturgy, especially to any visitors who are Melkites. You're more, well, this is your spiritual home, so please feel very welcomed here and to participate in every way you can. A certain servant owed his king an extraordinary amount of money. When the king demanded payment of that debt, the servant, as we heard in the gospel lesson today, was unable to pay it. In response, the king mercifully forgave the servant's debt. The servant, however, did not show that same act of mercy toward a fellow servant of whom he owed far, far less. The king was informed of this outrageous act and took the servant and exacted all payment from him. This gospel is probably a fairly familiar one to each one of us. What then are some of the more important teachings that you and I ought to take from today's gospel lesson as people who have been baptized and trying to practice, to live out this gift of faith? Because if you remember, I said a few weeks ago, any time and every time we read or hear the Word of God, it's the Word of God. And therefore, may it stir within us wonder and always amazement. May we never take the Word of God and say, oh, I've heard this before, it's old. Because God's Word is never old. God's Word is always making all things new. So first of all, we can certainly glean from this lesson that you and I and every single human being is a debtor before God. You and I owe God a debt. And you and I, and no human being, can pay that debt back. Unlike the king in today's gospel passage, however, God never seeks repayment. He only expects gratitude. Yes, God doesn't expect payment from us because we can't give anything back to Him equal to what He gives to us. However, God does expect from us gratitude. Gratitude is more than saying thank you. Gratitude is more than simply in your own heart being grateful. Gratitude is demonstrated by action. Action. Yes, if you are truly a grateful person, it will be displayed in your acts. If God bestows selflessly and abundantly His gifts upon you and me, and let me say that again, He bestows His gifts abundantly and selflessly as recipients of His bountiful goodness, his bountiful gifts, and as members of his divine body, God expects you and me to be generous, selfless, giving selflessly. That's right. If you are truly grateful for what God has given to you, you will be just as generous and selfless with all those around you. Otherwise, you become a hoarder, and God despises the hoarder, because that's not acting as one made and created in his image and recreated in his image in baptism. You and I are stewards of everything we have. Everything. Everything of your body, everything of your soul, everything of your spirit, everything physically, everything spiritually is a gift from God. Every virtue you have is a gift from God. The ability to walk is a gift from God. Your house is a gift from God. Your money is a gift from God. Every talent you have is a gift from Almighty God. Nothing that you have is really for your own. And therefore, God expects you and me to be just as generous with everything. The second teaching in today's gospel lesson addresses our relationship with God. Do you take for granted all the gifts God has given to you? Are you satisfied with what you have received in body, in soul, materially, and immaterially? Do you seek or do you desire more? Do you become sad, discontented, or irritated at what you do not have? Do you feel that in some way you've been cheated in life? And all this in regards to the goods of the body, and the soul, and the spirit. It's the ungrateful person that becomes discontented, irritated, or sad. It's a person who has that sense of entitlement that becomes discontented, irritated, or sad, or has that evil temptation to think, somehow I've been cheated in life. A third teaching in today's gospel lesson addresses our relationship to our neighbor, spiritually and physically. And let's remember, the neighbor, as our Lord defined or told us in the Good Samaritan parable, is the one in need. Spiritually, the Lord shows toward you and me extraordinary mercy, extraordinary forgiveness, extraordinary forbearance, extraordinary patient endurance, never requiting evil for evil. The Lord then gives the strongest warning to anyone who desires to follow him. If you do not show that same mercy, that same forgiveness, that same forbearance, that same patient endurance, God will exact payment from you and me. In the Gospel of St. Luke, the God-man instructs, and I quote him, "Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned," End of quote. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus the Christ instructs, and I quote, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. However, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses." End of quote. In the abbey of one of the monasteries, one of the monks was talking to the abbot, his father, in a community discussion about forgiveness and how he's having trouble forgiving some of his brothers in the community. And the abbot said, "If you can't forgive your brother in the community when you say the Our Father, don't be a hypocrite. Don't say the words, 'Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those.' Omit them then and be honest." And the Apostle Peter asked the Lord, "How many times am I to forgive my brother daily? Seven?" And the God-man answered, "No, Peter, not seven times a day. 70 times seven a day." In the Old Testament, the Lord instructed, and I quote him, "As you have done, so shall it be done unto you. Your reward shall return upon your own head." End of quote. The saints, our holy theologians, our teachers, tell us that any sin committed against God is incomparably worse than what anyone does against his or her neighbor. Our sins against God are immeasurable because God is immeasurable. And yet, if he forgives, how in the world can you and I not forgive what is measurable? If God then forgives what is in fact unpayable on your part and mine, how can you and I not forgive and show mercy toward one another? Heeding, therefore, the words of St. Paul to the church of Colossae, I quote him, Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassion, put on kindness, put on lowliness, put on meekness, put on patience, put on forbearance, put on forgiveness. For as the Lord has forgiven you, so you forgive one another. End of quote. If we do not practice the Lord's uncompromising commandment, yes, uncompromising commandment, there is never a reason not to show mercy. There is never a reason not to forgive. There is never a reason not to patiently endure. Zero. The Lord never gave an exception. If we do not do that, then the Lord will exact a severe payment from you and me. Materially, God has been... Now, that's spiritual. Materially, then, God has been just as extraordinarily selfless toward you and me. With our money, our time, our treasure, and our attention. Are you selfless then with your time, with your talent, with your treasure, with your attention to your neighbor, the neighbor in need? If not, God will exact a severe punishment from you and me. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, the God-man gives unminced words, commandments. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the imprisoned. God has bestowed these very gifts upon you and me selflessly and abundantly. As members of his body, as recipients of these gifts, and a people filled with gratitude, ours is to do nothing but the same. Otherwise, we are hypocrites. We become hoarders, and we become not what we're created to be, images of the divine God of selfless love. Christ is among